Why did the Flash leave the diner so fast? Because he got a bad case of the runs.
Oh, I was so hoping that was going to be a duty joke.
Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of May 8th, 2014. I am Simon Atwell, and as always, joined by
Andrew Dupe.
How could it be anything? It involves a diner and running. How could it be anything besides a crap joke?
Oh, that would be cool.
What? What?
Crap joke, because it was a crap joke. But it was a crap joke. Ah.
You just break your own brain?
I did. Oh, that's awesome.
That's a great way to start things. Oh, for sure. Right. Well, let's just jump right in to some Power Rangers.
Yeah, so this is the most exciting news. I mean, it's hardly news. It just says Power Ranger reboot movie. Is it going to be its own thing? Is it going to tie into the show somehow? Who knows?
They haven't
I'm
even got
excited.
it.
And
What
it's
I
funny because when we were over at game night, I was literally talking about Pacific Rim 2, and they're like, it's probably not going to happen. Tom is like, no, it's not going to happen because
I
this,
remember
this, and this. And I'm like, okay, fine. Give me a Power Rangers reboot movie. And the
that.
next week, look at this.
Your house is bugged.
That is bugged.
Yeah, what I read about this basically is that Lionsgate said they want to do movies, plural movies, like a movie series. So it might not have anything to do with the shows that I'm pretty sure they're still making.
Yeah, they are.
Pretty sure these shows are still up.
They are still up, and they're still going. There's still new ones.
And I'm pretty sure the original Tommy is still involved with it.
Probably.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like the last series, he was still there as a mentor, or he came back or something as a mentor.
It
Weird.
was also an MMA fighter.
Yeah. Him. He's still doing stuff. Johnny Young Bosch, who I believe he was one of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I don't remember which one he was. He does a lot of voice work now. I hear his voice all the time. And Amy Jo Johnson, who's Canadian, still doing stuff. She was on Flashpoint. Yeah, Flashpoint. Canadian. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
See,
I
there's
just.
literally no information about this besides that Lionsgate is going to make one.
Yes. And Lionsgate made other good movies. So.
List, though? Not even like one?
No, my brain went blank. I had one, and then I'm like, no, that's not a Lionsgate movie. I've seen their logo
Yeah,
on
I don't
movies I
remember.
enjoy.
I can never remember what studio makes what movie, honestly. But it's one of the big names. It's one of the recognizable movie studio names. So
Yeah.
it's not some small thing. Some
I'm
small
just
bump
waiting for the director to be announced, and it's going to be Michael Bay.
Yes, it is.
It's going to happen.
After Ninja Turtles and Transformers, he's going to Power Rangers next. Jumping around our childhood.
He's just taking a scythe and cleaving through her childhood.
One crappy movie at a time. Oh, God. It's gonna happen now. Why'd you have to go and say it?
Yeah, my house is bugged.
Perhaps it's bugged, and this is going on the internet.
Oh no, it's even worse than being bugged.
You ruined it.
I
If
did ruin it.
that happens, if that comes true, I'm blaming you. I want you to know.
Yeah.
So a slight trick of the mind, of the mind.
Yeah.
I almost said in the mind. I hadn't heard about this until
I
I
hadn't heard
looked.
about this either until Tuesday, and I just happened upon it. And a slight trick of the mind is a Sherlock movie starring Ian McKellen as Sherlock Holmes, and he's like battling with dementia or something.
Well, Ian McClellan's pretty old, so therefore the Sherlock he plays would be pretty old.
Yeah.
Sherlock was already pretty crazy. A good crazy, but crazy.
A Slight Trick of the Mind is based on the 2005 novel by Mitch Cullen. Jesus Christ.
I can't wait for you to keep pronouncing names. It's going to be great.
It centers on the later years in the fictional Holmes' life when he retired to Sussex to keep bees. Bees?
I was gonna make that joke. You beat me to it. Bees.
As Doyle's story suggested, Mrs. Monroe serves something as a caretaker, albeit one with a young son Holmes takes a parental interest in.
Yep, this sounds interesting to me. I've not read the actual books, any of the Sherlock Holmes books, Conan Doyle or otherwise. But I like all the other, you know, the show now, the BBC show now, the Robert Downey Jr., Jude Law movies, the previous movies before that.
There's everything really a lot of them. There's a lot of Sherlock everywhere.
Well, that's because it's probably one of the most famous British stories ever.
Did you ever watch Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd Century?
Maybe. I mean, I know I've heard the name, so I probably saw it a couple of times.
It was a great cartoon. It only lasted for a season.
Yeah, well, I have so many great cartoons. Those were quotation marks for the people who don't understand my pause and intonation. That was in quotation marks. So many great cartoons are...
And for those of you who don't know, Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd Century, they froze Sherlock, unthawed him later in the future, 22nd Century, and they paired him up with a Watson bot. And he has to take out Moriarty, who was also frozen and unthawed. Thawed. Unfrozen. And thawed.
It means the same thing, you know.
Yeah, but I said unthawed.
Did you?
Probably frozen.
I was reading the What's Renewed and What's Cancelled things. This is on the link. I on a link from the Sherlock. It had another thing about what was renewed and what was cancelled. So I will see if there's anything I care about that was renewed. NCIS is back. Really? Still? God, that makes like 13 seasons for NCIS. It's a long time.
Might as well keep going.
I'm making money. I don't care. I don't really like that show. But Elementary, really? I didn't think Elementary did that well. The U.S. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I was going to say more Sherlock.
They wanted to actually call Sherlock and like basically be an American version of the BBC Sherlock, and the BBC was like, no, look what you did to that ghost werewolf vampire show and Top Gear. They're like, nope, no more. No more U.S. licensing of our shows.
It's better that way.
Yeah. Survivor, Criminal Minds... CSI, that's got to be on like 15 seasons now.
Right? I don't know.
At least. Big Bang Theory. Amazing Race. Good Life. What the hell is Intelligence? I haven't heard of that show.
Me either.
Just looking down the list. Oh, we came to Fox, and the picture they have for Fox is almost human, which we already know.
It was canceled.
But Glee's coming back. But Glee's coming back again, somehow.
How's that coming back?
They all graduated high school, from what I understand.
Well, yeah. Do they have new people on the show?
I don't know. I have no idea. Bones, but Bones is coming back, and I love Bones. New Girl, it's good. Wow, you know what? I shouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of canceled Fox shows. There's at least as many canceled as there are renewed. And I don't know why I'm surprised. I mean, it's Fox. It's kind of what they're famous for. Yeah. It's just changing out shows, like all of their shows.
Foxing them?
Just changing them. Castle, probably. ABC has nothing. ABC doesn't have one way or the other. It's all question marks. Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, not actual Once Upon a Time. I haven't watched either of those shows.
Neither.
I know Erica has watched Once Upon a Time on Netflix, and she liked it.
I put that in my watch list just last night.
I forget that the watch list is a thing.
Me too. I just really kind of discovered it last night.
I discovered it a while ago, and I have things in there, but I always forget about it. Community is still a question mark. That's what I was looking for. The real reason I was going through this list, see if Community had an answer yet. Still a question mark.
6 seasons in a movie.
Yeah, we only finished season 5, man.
One more, and then a movie.
And then the whole...
Not honestly, that hard.
If you finish Community with 6 seasons and a movie... Literally, the whole fan base will be happy. Nobody will be like, "All right, we did what we got, what we wanted."
Yeah, no one will be like, "Where's season 7?" Yeah. What the hell?
You're like, you gave us our 6 seasons and a movie. You made it true.
Yeah. All right. They will mic drop, and they will go on in history forever as the 6 seasons in a movie.
Arrow's coming back. Of course, Arrow's coming back.
What's his face is on Arrow now? The Jack Harkness.
He was on the first season. I imagine he's in the first season more than he's in the second. John Barrowman, by the way, is the actor. Yes. He also does a British like kids wildlife show.
Yeah.
Like I've Dominic Monaghan does a wildlife show. Which is on like channel 58 or something at midnight here. In the Wild or Into the Wild or something. I've actually watched part of it. It was him and Billy Boyd back in New Zealand. It's great.
I've seen one with John Barrowman, and he was talking about goats and stuff.
Goats and stuff. You really paid attention to that Child's Wildlife show then.
Yeah, it was on at a hotel that I was at, and I'm like, I know that voice. I'm just going to listen.
Yeah. So, Slight Trick of the Mind, let's just pull this back. Slight Trick of the Mind, Sherlock. I'm looking forward to it, even though I hadn't heard about it before today.
Because Sherlock is a badass, and I'd imagine that even at 91 years old, he's still going to be a badass. And especially when he's playing by Ian McKellen. He's a badass.
Ian McKellen is a badass, yeah. Go on to the next thing. This is totally your thing. I haven't seen any of these.
Insidious Chapter 3 apparently is going to be a thing. The screenwriter and co-star, Leigh Whannell.
I would say Leigh Whannell, but I don't know. Whannell? That's a weird name. It's a weird name, by the way. I'm pretty sure about Leigh, but that weird name, that last name throws me. Waddle.
We should make a spin-off podcast. It's just me trying to read people's names.
You and Scott Johnson can go head-to-head on bad name reading.
Oh, it's on.
Because he's pretty terrible. I don't know if you listen to a lot of his podcasts.
Not a lot, no.
But he can't read a name to save his life.
Hey, Scott, if you're listening, this is a challenge. And I can... confidently make this because I know you're never gonna hear this.
I was just for that I'm gonna like tweet the link to this episode at him. listen to it for 20 minutes and you have the challenge. 16 minutes in, I think, something like that. It's on the other side of the room. I can't read my timer. Anyway, Insidious.
Yeah, so there's gonna be a third one. And the screenwriter and co-star from Insidious 1 and Chapter 2 is going to direct the third one. He's probably going to star in it as well, and I don't know, probably write it.
I would imagine he's still doing his other two jobs. Yeah. Just also directing it this time.
Yeah, why not just do all of it? Why not make the whole movie yours?
Insidious the one... where his kid has some sort of, like, connection to some other world kind of thing.
He used to have it when he was little. And then his kid got it. He goes to sleep and goes to the dreamland, and there's.
Okay, I have seen the first one, kind of. It was an overnight at the drive-in, and I didn't watch that movie. That was my nap movie, my half nap movie. I heard it, and I kind of half watched it. It was also the last one of the night, so I missed the last half hour anyway. The sun came up,
I've seen them
sun started
both, I
coming
think.
up, and the screen was washed out.
I'm not really big on scary because I suck with it. But I've seen both in theaters. And they were scary. The third one's probably going to be scary.
Probably. Yeah. I only watched part of the first one. And yeah, it looked pretty creepy. I guess Chapter 2 did well. I remember hearing they were making it, but I don't remember hearing anything about it when it came out.
Yeah, Chapter 2 did do pretty good. It was kind of one of those ones where, like, the first one didn't really wrap up like it could have,
Well, it
but the
left itself
second one
open.
wrapped. Yeah, the first one left itself open, but the second one, I don't think it really did.
See, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if this is going to turn into Paranormal Activities. They're still making those bloody movies.
Yeah.
And they're somehow saying it's all one storyline, even though it's totally bullshit.
Seen the first Paranormal Activity, and that was it.
Me too. I've only seen the first one. And I didn't like it. Not because it was scary. I mean, it was jump scare.
Yeah.
It wasn't story scary. Like, if I'm gonna watch a horror movie, I'd prefer to watch a story scary than a jump scare, because jump scares are boring to me and
Like,
stupid.
the one that was like Insidious was awesome. I can't remember. It's got like the same
Well,
actor, the
the
same
bad thing is, I'm sure I know when you're
director.
talking about. I can't remember what it was. I only know of it because the writer was on an SFW show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't remember what that is at
It's
all.
another one word.
Yeah.
It's like
I don't know.
Insidious or whatever. Whatever. It
Yeah, we're bad with names. Bad with names. Unsurprising. Try and look it up, but I'll probably not find it. I have no way to look it up, so let's just move on. Let's just move on. Plus, my phone's not wanting to look up the internet right now. So, forget that. Yes, so he is directing instead of the guy who created the movies.
I don't know.
That's what you say in your notes here. Wanna will take the reins from franchise co-creator James Wan.
Okay, then I guess from the co-creator, but he did all the writing of the previous ones and all the
Well, yes, screenwriter though. There's a lot of screenwriters, because I mean I'm sure the James Wan and whoever that wrote basically the story, and then the screenwriters come in and they go, okay, you can't really do it this way on a movie. You got to do it like this, or this doesn't work on film. Or what if we do this like this instead? That's how screenwriters work. That's why they're screenwriters, not just writers.
Right.
They're also not script doctors though. Because script doctors take it after the screenwriters, and they just pare things out. Nope, maybe, nope. Basically.
Well, the article I read doesn't really go too much into what his part was earlier, other than screenwriter and actor. That's it for that.
Well, it has a release date, Andrew.
Does.
You went through the notes to make sure everything that had a release date announced had a release date in the notes.
It is April 3rd, 2015.
You specifically did that.
I know, I just forgot.
Oh boy, we're both tired. This is gonna be a great episode.
Best.
Yeah. Let's go to Batman. Everybody loves Batman.
It's Batman.
Kevin Conroy is to return as the voice of Batman in Batman Assault on Arkham, which I only put half in quotation marks in the show notes, which is interesting to me. Put the last quotation mark on, but not the first. So Batman Assault on Arkham is set in the Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Origins game universe. Basically, the government recruits a group of villains, the Suicide Squad, to infiltrate Arkham Asylum and get back top-secret information that the Riddler stole. This is set between Origins and Asylum, I'm pretty sure, if I recall.
Makes sense.
And it looks to be good. I'm pretty sure it's out now, like recently, like released yesterday or today, like released very, or is out soon. It's either out now or soon. I didn't look up the date because it wasn't in the thing that I read. But what is most interesting to me is that Kevin Conroy is back to voice Batman again. Even though in the last Arkham game, he did not.
Kevin Conroy, if you don't know, is basically the voice of Batman.
So he's the voice of animated Batman. Yeah. Except for the most recent Batman game. Except for Batman Arkham Origins.
I don't know, he's like Batman in every other animated and most video game.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, a lot of the other voice actors in this movie were interesting. I mean, it has Matthew Gray Gubler from Criminal Minds. Those of people who have watched Criminal Minds know who that is. He's very popular, mostly probably due to that show. He plays the Riddler as Giancarlo Esposito from Community and Breaking Bad. He might be Deadshot, I think.
Who was he in the other movie, the Batman kid?
Yeah, I know he was somebody, but I can't remember that. I think he was Ra's / Ra's al Ghul. I think who he was there.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
That's who it was. I'm pretty certain. But this one, I saw a quick trailer for it, more than a teaser, but not a full trailer for this a little while back. It looks interesting. It kind of, you're not sure if the bad guys are doing bad things or good things, which I like. Like, in that trailer, you were unclear. Because, right. I mean, they're hired by the government to do, you know, bad things. But they're doing it for the government. Yeah. I might check this one out. I may or may not. I'm undecided. But I do like Batman.
Doesn't.
Commies, as you would say.
Yeah, those dirty commie bastards.
Same people who don't like chocolate milk.
Dirty commies. You look at it, Batman is kind of everything that communists don't like. He's rich and powerful. Why not spread the wealth? It belongs to the people. Everyone be Batman.
Let's not get into a geopolitical debate. Well, not debate. Let's just not bring up politics. That's a bad idea. It's always a bad idea. It's not safe.
Only if you're a commie.
Anyway, let's go into Star Wars. Everybody loves Star Wars.
Yeah, so the Rebels trailer came out on May the 4th. How appropriate. And it looks pretty good. Like, even before the trailer came out, I was still, like, kind of iffy on it, because I don't feel very particularly attached to any of the characters.
Because you don't know who any of the characters are?
Well, it's not just that. It's like, they don't seem interesting on the, like, face value. But they seem like they'd be all right. The Jedi guy, whose name escapes me at the moment, he seems like he'll be an all right character.
All right character.
And There's Sith Inquisitors.
Are they the worst Inquisitors ever?
Probably. Because I doubt that he succeeds in killing the Jedi. Spoiler alert.
They usually don't. It's not really a spoiler because you don't know. It's like you're watching Game of Thrones and go, you know what, I bet that character dies this season. You don't know, maybe.
It's one thing to say that Game of Thrones, it's another to say in a show
like,
that's...
You have not read the books, but you're watching like this season, you go, you know what, this season, I think this character is the one who's going to die, because somebody dies. Whether important or not, somebody dies every season.
Right.
If I said it, being have read the books, and I am ahead of the show, even though the show, each season, is taking further and further away from the books, so I could be entirely wrong by this point. If I said it, it could be... You know, it would be construed as a spoiler because I actually know. Mind you, my favorite thing to do with spoilers is just lie. Be like, oh yeah, in the first season, this guy shoots himself in the face.
That's just rude.
But it's just fake some, just lie to somebody, and make them think I spoiled it, and then they finish the season, and they're like, that never happened, man. Like, well, yeah, I know.
Did you see last episode where Tyrion killed the Mountain?
The funny thing is, I'm actually two episodes behind.
Oh, man.
So I haven't seen the last two episodes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil the last episode for you.
Oh, God.
Speaking of spoiling, I don't actually have a second for that.
It's a nice try, though. Speaking of TV.
Orange is the New Black is renewed for season 3.
Season 3. I guess what's her name is still in jail.
I would assume so.
I've never watched this show. I've not seen a single episode of it.
But I just added it to my watch list on Netflix. And I really, really like the whole Netflix like binge model where they just release it all.
Yeah. Me too. But that's because I hate waiting.
But on the other hand, it's kind of hard. Hey, spoiler segue. It's hard to not, like, spoil it for people.
Or spoil it for people. Yeah, yeah. I was reading something.
They're all released at once, so you've either seen it all or you've seen up to a certain point, but there's no, like, weekly.
Well, since, you know, the 90s, it's been harder and harder to not, you know, to have a conversation about a TV show without spoiling it for somebody. You know, in the 90s, basically, I remember, like, if you didn't watch that TV show, that episode when it aired, you weren't going to watch it again. You didn't get a chance until it came on syndication, and who knows when that was. If you didn't watch it at the time it aired, you weren't going to watch it later, so you might as well hear what happened. There was no... Also,
there wasn't really that much to spoil. I mean, like, if you spoiled an episode of Friends.
Man. There were other shows that were actually had things happen.
Or you know? Seinfeld. You spoiled an episode of Seinfeld. They got in trouble, but they got out of it in the end.
You know what happened in Seinfeld? Stupid shit. I hate Seinfeld.
Kramer came over. He caused some stuff.
Terrible show. Terrible. Besides, I was talking more about the late 90s.
Late 90s? That is late 90s.
Well, Steinfeld's more mid. I don't remember the other show you mentioned. Oh, Friends. Forget Friends. Anyway, so I also like the binge model because the only problem I have with it is I get used to binging on a show and then I get like caught up to it and there's no more.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, now what do I do?
I mean, it's over.
Not even like when it's like, if I, if the show's already finished, I'm okay with it. Like if I watch all 5 seasons of Fringe in a binge, I'm like, all right, the show's done. That's cool. But if I was to watch the first 2 seasons of Orange is the New Black before season 3 came out, I'd be like, shit, now I gotta wait.
Yeah.
For the next season. I don't think I've watched any, with the exception of Arrested Development, I've not watched any Netflix original programming.
I watched the Arrested Development, and I watched the last season of Clone Wars.
Oh, was that on Netflix?
Yeah, it was a Netflix original kind of.
Well, Netflix original, like Arrested Development, was Netflix original.
In the sense that they just put it out.
Yeah.
And only like on Netflix.
Or anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen House of Cards. Never seen Orange is the New Black. There's another one that's a Netflix original programming. Lilyhammer, I think, was one of the early ones.
I started watching House of Cards. I was going to segue into this later. But basically, I saw the new Call of Duty trailer, and I was like, man, I really want to watch House of Cards.
Yeah.
And then I did. And then I watched, like, 3 episodes, and I'm like, this is the greatest show ever.
More on that later.
More on that later.
Let's go to Gotham. Everybody, we should have put this higher up so it would came directly after Kevin Conroy. Would have made a much better segue. Yeah. It would be Batman to Batman instead of Batman to Star Wars to jail to Batman. But
and Kevin Spacey's all over.
The series Gotham gets a full 2-minute trailer. 2 minutes and a bit.
Which really explains a lot. It was a really good trailer.
It was. It was an awesome trailer. And it made me want that show to come out so I can watch it.
Honestly, the only disappointing thing was Commissioner Gordon doesn't have a mustache. I get he's younger. I just really want him to have a mustache.
And that is how you know he's a rookie. He doesn't have a mustache.
He doesn't have the mustache, yes.
Once he gets some experience in his belt, the mustache just pops into existence.
I mean, if they work it like this, where, like, over the course of the seasons, he gets a mustache...
That would be pretty great, actually.
I would be so in.
Season, he's got a little more.
Yeah, I would, like, redeem all of it. Or, like, if he's, like... There's, like, a mirror... Or a scene where he's, like, standing in front of a mirror... And he's about to, like, shave his mustache, and, like, his wife will come up and be like, you should leave your mustache, it looks good. Like, if there's just, like, something like that,
yeah.
They'll redeem themselves.
Probably not married yet, he's probably too young.
I don't know. Maybe.
Girlfriend. Yep, so I'm excited for that show. Trailer looks awesome. We have a link, and it'll be in the notes, I bet.
Link in the show notes. Bam, bam. I think it's already there, right? Yeah, it is.
Link's in there, yeah. Unlike the Star Wars Rebels trailer, it's actually in the notes. The link, yeah. This one. 24?
I also had no idea that this was happening.
I knew it was happening. I always thought it was a movie.
24?
Yeah, the new 24, Live Another Day.
New 24. Yeah, it's kind of die-hardy in the title.
Live Another Day. There was a die. There was a die.
Die Another Day.
Die. Good Day to Die Hard.
No, that's Good Day to Die Hard. Die Another Day is James Bond. So many dying in days.
Such day. So die. Wow.
Yeah, so I booted up iTunes to check our podcast, see if it was showing up in the searches, and this was like the first thing that I saw on the... store. It was the 2-part premiere for 24. I'm like, this looks amazing. Basically, it's like a continuation of the first one. He's got 24 hours to save the world, except he's in England.
You know, every season was different than 24 hours, I'm pretty sure of that show.
I don't know.
I only watched most of the first season. But it was good, though. I mean, it starred at least two Canadians.
Kiefer Sutherland.
And Alicia Cuthbert, sorry, not Eliza. Alicia Cuthbert.
She's in there?
Yeah, Alicia Cuthbert, in the first season at least, plays his daughter. Plays Jack Bauer's daughter.
Maybe I'll watch the show.
Come on, man, it stars at least two Canadians. Plus it's got, what's his name from the insurance commercials now, as the president.
The insurance commercials.
I can never remember his name. He's got the nice... what? No, not the Geico.
The Gecko?
Yes, they have a gecko for a president. What insurance company does he do the bloody... What insurance company does he do the commercials for now? Are you in good hands? Are you in good hands? That's the one. Whatever insurance companies, are you in good hands?
Nope.
I'm Googling right now. Talk while I Google.
Okay. So,
Allstate. Dennis Haysbert. Let's see if I can...
So the reviews for this have been, like, insanely positive. Like, 96% out of 100. Well, 96 point something out of 100. Shouldn't say percent. And, like, 5 stars and all that. And it looks good. Everything I've seen has been... like destruction everywhere and cars flipped over.
There is a lot of, yes, that does tend to follow special agents on TV. yeah, this one's unique because it's set in, it's filmed in London and set in London. I don't think the other ones, I'm pretty sure the other ones were set in the States.
Yeah.
Which makes more sense since, you know, Jack Bauer's American.
Yeah.
But the quick blurb about what this season, I guess, is about was that he was in the UK following the president and it was unclear whether he was there to protect or kill the president. That's what I read in a quick little blurb. And I was like, didn't they really do that? Where was they were like, they're not sure what side he's on. Pretty sure they've done that.
I guess whatever, so well they did it again.
But, I mean, that might be another spy-y special agent show, because that happens on every spy/special agent show movie thing ever.
Yeah.
It's a trope.
It is a trope.
It's a good trope, don't get me wrong, but it's a trope. It happens all the time.
Kiefer is called this season arguably the best series of 24.
Yeah, I find that...
Even Kiefer likes it.
I read that link, and I find that worded strangely.
I do, as well.
Because it's a UK website, and the guy rating it is presumably from the UK, and he calls it a season. And then yeah. Kiefer, who's Canadian, but I think Canadian-British, like I think Donald Sutherland's actually British and moved to Canada, says a series. And I was like, wait, what? This is backwards.
Yeah.
Backwards in my brain. But it's under quotation marks, so he presumably actually said series.
Yeah. Unless he just misquoted or whatever. I've never heard of the site before, so he could just suck.
The Mirror? It's a UK news. Yeah, I don't know if it's a good news, but I know it's UK news.
I figured by the .co.uk.
Well, but I mean, it's an actual news... Like, it was a paper, maybe it still is a paper. It's an actual news. It's not Kotaku.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
It's still weird to read a British person say season. Messed up my brain.
Those so, bits. Back to DC?
I was going to say, speaking of tropes, because there's nothing more tropey than a comic book character TV show or movie, except maybe anime, but it's pretty close because comic book TV shows are pretty much tropes.
Pretty much.
So starting next season, CW has ordered up The Flash, a TV show about The Flash, spinning off of their presumably still popular because they renewed it for a third season, Arrow, which I like Arrow. I've seen a season and a bit. I think I've seen a season and a half. Yeah, because I stopped while I'm behind on it for the... I think it was the winter break of season 2. Which is shortly after they introduced the Barry Allen character, prior to him being the Flash.
He's a scientist, right?
Yes, he was a scientist of some kind.
Oh, yeah. I know my DCs.
He's a smart guy. He's, like, Silver Age Flash. He was a smart guy, and something of like the chemicals or something in his lab got caught up in an explosion, and they all mixed, and that's how he got his powers. It's basically what happened at the end of the last episode of Arrow I watched too. They showed him back in wherever he was, and there was some, they were doing some pretty decent foreshadowing, if not a little heavy-handed, because it was all the time. About they were doing in whatever city he's in, like Center City or whatever, because they have stupid city names in DC. They were building a particle accelerator, and they were turning it on. Once Barry Allen left Starling City, which is where Arrow, where Green Arrow is, and went back to Center City or whatever it was, they turned it on and exploded. It was far enough away to get like. Not die from the explosion, but still have it affect things in his lab. So basically, stuff happened, and he was on the ground. And presumably, to other people who don't know that he's the Flash, people might think he died.
Huh.
I don't know. They might have finished it in the rest of the season, because like I said, this was like the winter break. But I mean, I knew who he was the moment they introduced him as his actual name, Barry Allen. I go, oh, hey, it's the Flash.
Just count down the minutes.
Exactly. I was like, does he have his powers yet? Does he? No? It's too bad.
Just waiting for him to get the runs.
I'm trying to think if... he was. The Flash was in Smallville, too. Different Flash. Different actor, I mean. I'm pretty sure the Flash was in Smallville a couple times. I know they had a different Green Arrow quite a bit in the last few seasons. And they had... Black Canary, I think, as well. Who, Black Canary was played by Alyona Huffman, I think is her name. She was the pregnant doctor soldier on Stargate Universe. It's the same person who played Black Canary in Smallville. I didn't watch any episode with The Flash or Black Canary in it. But
that's
I know
it's really Smallville.
What?
I just never seen any Smallville.
I watched most of the first couple seasons. It was pretty good, and I watched some of the end when I was in college and got free Space Channel. Well, free because I was in dorms.
I just hate Superman.
Smallville actually wasn't so terrible. I mean, it was sort of young adult soap opera-y at times. It wasn't so bad.
That's not helping to sell it.
I know. I'm just saying, it wasn't so bad. It's not great. It's not bad.
Maybe I'll get to it someday. But probably not.
Probably not. Yep, let's move on to... let's continue your discussion.
Okay, so Invigima Games, there was the trailer for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, and Kevin Spacey... He's in it. Like, they made the character modeled after his likeness, and...
Which is fairly common in video games.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
But he's, like, narrating through the whole thing, talking about how democracy just doesn't work. We need, like, security, someone who knows what the people need and want. And it's really awesome, say monologue.
It is a monologue, yep.
And Kevin Spacey's just a badass.
like, it was funny.
I watched this, and then, I just went Netflix, House of Cards. Because I've been meaning to watch it forever, because Kevin Spacey's some... But this one just tipped it.
The best part, the funny thing is for this, for me, before I knew that it was even, like, announced what the name of it was, I knew that Kevin Spacey was, you know, in it, in the new Call of Duty game. Before I knew the name, before I even knew that they had actually officially announced it, I mean, there's no official announcement, I know it comes out of a year, I guess. But because the internet blew up with... Honestly, was like, I can't believe Kevin Spacey would sell out to Call of Duty. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? He's not selling out to anybody. He's an actor. He gets paid to act.
Who? I found out he got British medal. He's like commander of the Commonwealth Army because of his acting.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because he's an American.
Yeah, it's not, he's not the only American to get it. He can't be a knight because he's not, because he's American. But that's basically the equivalency of being knighted if you're American.
That's just badass. And the amount of awards he's won, he's like won most of the ones he's been nominated for.
But not all.
I'm going to put a bunch of notes in the show notes about why Kevin Spacey's a badass.
Or you could do another blog. It's a separate blog and not muddy up the notes of the episode.
Keep an eye out for a blog post about why Kevin Spacey's a badass.
It makes so much more sense. If you have a whole blog subpart of the website, you might as well use it.
Yeah, for Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
All for you, Kevin Spacey.
If you're listening right now. Oh, God.
If you're listening right now, have my babies.
All right, now that you've got a restraining order on your way, let's move on to Project Morpheus, which is a great name, I might add.
Yeah. Does Sony own the rights to The Matrix?
I don't know. Did they make the movies?
I don't know. So I'm asking.
I don't know.
Because that would make this so much better.
Morpheus is, I mean, I know it's Lawrence Fishburne's character's name, but it's not, you know, he's not the first thing to use the name / word Morpheus.
But I could just think of the marketing possibilities.
Oh, man. So if you have a PlayStation 4, and if you do, I'm a little jealous because I want one, and you're annoyed about that light bar on your controller that never turns off, this you want to listen to this. There's a reason. Right, Andrew?
There is a reason. This is for Project Morpheus.
You put the link revealed, in
it was revealed today that the light bar on the back of the controller is actually to help track movements in relation to the VR headset stuff that they're working on, specifically for the PlayStation 4.
Yes, Andrew, the PlayStation 4 controller light bars for tracking things on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, well, I just mean Morpheus in general is only going to be on.
Because, I mean, that's the... Yes, that also makes sense because it's Sony.
It's competition with the Oculus Rift.
The Facebook Rift?
Facebook. Which is a good thing, but...
The quick turnaround on the internet about the Rift... Once Facebook bought it, oh man, that turned, I've never seen a spin quite so fast.
It's like pitchforks everywhere, but it really makes sense. Like Facebook doesn't really meddle with the things that they buy; they just profit.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense for Facebook to me. I was kind of surprised. I was like, "This is a weird thing for you guys to buy."
Whatever, it happens. They make money off of it. Who cares?
I think it's good for the Rift. I don't think we talked about this because that happened before we started the show, didn't it?
It did.
I think it's a good thing for the Rift because it'll probably mean, or at least it's a good thing for us because it'll probably mean the Rift will be cheaper than it would have been otherwise.
That probably means that it'll actually be a product eventually.
It'll for sure make public release. There's a term that I'm forgetting, but it'll sure make, you know, proper general public release, then it'll be cheaper than it would have been. It won't be, you know, $500. It may be a couple.
Yeah. Well, because before, they were a Kickstarter-started company, and now they literally have, like, millions at their disposal.
Exactly. Yep. So, all in all, it's probably a good thing. But, Project Morpheus is what we went to here. Project Morpheus, it's a VR thing, the light bar, which, as far as I know, is, like, moddable. You can get it to say things. I don't know if that's a hack mod, or if you can literally just mod your light bar to look different ways. Like, I've seen things where they've got, like, the Jedi symbol, and I've seen things where they've got, like, names of games. And I don't know if that's a hack, if that's Photoshop, or if that's a thing the PlayStation just lets you do. Because I don't own one yet.
Oh.
Yet.
Never heard of any of that.
I see. I've seen it all over the internet, which is why I don't know if it's Photoshop or not.
But I also do not own one, so who knows?
Yeah, Project Morpheus is interesting. I mean, I always find sort of VR stuff interesting. I look forward to VR one day when it's affordable and, yeah, you know, out there.
If I had money right now, I would get an Oculus Rift, no problem.
You know what you do there? You get an Oculus Rift and you get one of those, like, omnidirectional treadmill things that you see all the time?
No.
Dude, it would be awesome.
I'm far too lazy.
So you get that, but you... Yeah, you are, but you don't always have to use it. You just sometimes, you know, play certain games, like you're playing Fallout or something on your Oculus Rift, and you're literally walking around through the either, you know, the leftovers of Nevada if you're playing New Vegas, or the destruction of DC if you're playing 3. How awesome That's would true. That actually be?
I would be way more inclined to walk across the nuclear wasteland of America than I would be to walk outside.
I know. Honestly, though, it's a great way, if this was, you know, affordable, it'd be a great way to sort of get exercise. You play an RPG, for God's sake. Play an RPG on an omnidirectional fucking treadmill. You know how much walking God. You have to do in those games?
The first trek to Whiterun.
God. It's terrible. You'd be out of breath, because you'd have to actually, to sprint, you'd have to actually run faster. Like, it's not a button press, you actually have to move faster to get it. And I think that's how it works.
And the first ice troll, we had to run up the mountain.
I don't think the omnidirectional things have the inclines, like actual, like, you know, regular treadmills do. Although that would be kind of awesome too.
No,
That would really bring out the realism, though.
Yeah, walking up the mountain, running from the troll. Oh God!
I don't run from any trolls. I kick their asses. Because by the time I get back to doing the main quest line, I'm so far ahead. Wow. Yeah. So, Lightbar has a reason. PlayStation was ignoring kind of your complaints about how it has extra glare on your TV screens because they didn't want to spoil the announcement.
Yeah.
Basically.
They heard you and they were sad. They were like, we're sorry, just hang on, we want to tell you.
It's just not ready yet.
It's just not ready. And now they did, and there was much rejoicing. Hey. Speaking and of now for something completely different.
Wow. Wow, Bill.
So, Destiny is like the most expensive video game ever made and the most expensive, like, entertainment viewing thing? Pleasure
for now. Thing. I say for now. That's my addendum to this.
Well, for now, yeah. Everyone can always go higher.
I mean recent now. I mean, like, Star Citizen's going to beat that.
Oh, yeah. Before Star Citizen's release, it's going to be way past 500.
It'll be way past that. Star Citizen's going to get there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's at 45 right now. No problem. That was only in a year.
Yeah, it goes leaps and bounds. Anyway, Destiny, did you actually say how much the budget was set at?
I did not. I was just building up to it.
Then I interrupted you.
It is a lofty $500 million.
Loft? That's nothing. That's not lofty at all.
Chump change.
I've got that in my back pocket.
$500 million.
God. That's ludicrous.
It is ludicrous. Pirates of the Caribbean is the most expensive movie made, and even it was only $300 million. Around there. Correcting my Caribbean spelling.
I'm trying to, but I don't know how to spell Caribbean either. I just know it's wrong. Yes. Pirates of the Caribbean 1 was the most expensive movie?
No, At World's End.
Ah, the third one.
Yeah. Did you intentionally pronounce it turd?
A turd one. Yeah, she got a problem with that. It's a turd movie. Much better than the fourth one. The fourth one was shite.
There was a fourth one?
Yeah, it was the fourth one. And it was
Jack?
What?
Was that, no, it was just Jack?
Yeah, it was when he was looking for the Fountain of Youth.
I haven't seen that one.
I have. I don't know. I may have seen it in theaters. I don't remember. I'm getting the nod that we saw in theaters. It wasn't that great. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't that great. It wasn't very good.
It probably was good. That badass scene that At World's End had where they're fighting the ships in that giant whirlpool, shooting the cannons at each other. That was great. That was one of the best scenes in a movie ever.
Which one was the one where they were on, like, giant boulders and, like, sword fighting?
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though? They were, like, log rolling on boulders?
Yeah. I'm going to say At World's End.
It does seem appropriately ridiculous.
Yeah.
In the best way.
Because there were, like, the boulders, and then there was that giant wood wheel, and he gets stuck in it, and then there's a key on his neck, and then they're grabbing it, and there's, like, another person involved in the fight.
Yeah. A lot of stuff happens.
Those are good movies.
Yep, they're good movies.
Anyway.
I always forget that they're made by Disney.
I gotta change up the show notes, because speaking of $500 million, Nintendo lost $456 million.
That's pretty close.
And their operating costs.
Even more impressive number.
Yeah.
46.4 billion yen.
Yep.
So impressive. Everything, every number, every monetary amount sounds so impressive when you say it in yen.
Yeah. It's like when you go to America and you get $1 bills.
you got so much money, but it's all ones.
The last time I went, I made sure that I got all my change in $1 bills.
And they all look greenbacks. They're all the same color.
Yeah, so exactly.
You can't tell the difference until you actually look at the number.
It's amazing. I had like $40 worth of ones, and I'm like, yeah, making it rain.
Terrible person. Yes, Nintendo lost $456 million in this fiscal year.
Which, incidentally, was how much it cost to make Destiny.
Yeah. Destiny? What company's making Destiny?
Activision.
Not Nintendo.
The publisher. Not Nintendo. Unless it was like Activision just like got into Nintendo stuff and then...
That would be really funny.
Stole $500 million.
Activision hacked Nintendo.
Yeah. It was all a heist.
Oh, there's a movie idea.
The Activision heist.
Heist movie for you. God. Yes. Nintendo finished.
This is their
year in a row.
Yeah, the third year in a row. And this has all been under Iwata.
You didn't write his name down. Not in
I
did.
I thought I'd remember it.
Why did you think you would remember it?
Because I remembered Iwata.
I knew you would forget it.
I knew I'd forget it too. Who am I kidding?
Satoru Iwata.
So that guy has been running Nintendo since the Wii. And the Wii was, you know, colossal success. The DS, colossal success. And the Wii U and all that, you know, not so much.
DS has been successful.
Yeah, but that's DS.
Yeah, the 3DS, though.
The Wii U is just a giant...
No, they're ruling handheld markets. I mean, comparatively. But
yeah.
You don't have them much to compare to.
No, there's the Vita, which its only selling feature is, hey, you can do stuff with the PS4.
Actually, the Vita is an awesome piece of hardware. It really is. I have one. The games are okay. The games are pretty fun. It doesn't have a lot. I mean, maybe it doesn't now. I haven't looked at new Vita games in a while because I haven't had money to waste on new video games in a while.
There's not that much. There's Borderlands.
The Assassin's Creed game isn't so bad for it. It's weird. It's pretty good, too. And it came with this game called Little Deviants, which is basically like a bunch of little mini-games. They're all super fun. But the Vita is an impressive piece of hardware. Like, hardware alone, that thing is pretty awesome.
Same with the PSP. Even the original PSP holds up. You can play
pretty good hardware.
Emulated PS1 games on there, no problem.
But I mean, that's what Sony does. They make pretty good, pretty damn solid hardware.
But they just can never really seem to support it.
They do nothing with it. That's what Sony does. Here it is. Goodbye.
Yeah. So, PS3, amazing piece of hardware. I use it as a Blu-ray player.
Yeah. That's it. They don't. That's their main problem.
PSP, amazing piece of hardware. Use it to emulate other games. There's a Game Boy Advance and an NES and a PS1.
Nobody was watching UMD movies, I tell you that.
Nope.
It was a bad idea. Just the movie part, though. I have no problem with UMDs themselves, and I don't know why that was such a big... People hated UMDs, and I don't get it.
Yeah, it's just throwing things around.
But it's not that much different. I mean, I guess it's a little not that much different than the cartridges on the 3DS. I mean, they're bigger, sure.
But I don't think people like the cartridges on the 3DS either. I know I don't.
But I always saw people being like, why are these stupid discs? Make them like the cartridges instead. I'm like, but what's the difference? Maybe it's just because I was looking on the internet. Internet makes stupid, says stupid things.
Yeah. But really, if I had a PS4, I'd get a PS Vita. Like, no problem.
It actually does things, I believe. Maybe that was a PSP that did things with the PlayStation 3. One of them did something with the PlayStation 3. I know.
I don't know. Probably Vita. PSP didn't do anything. But the Vita, with its, like, playing the TV, except on your hand, like the Wii U does.
Like the Wii U does, which is an awesome thing that I would like.
It is badass.
I mean, not that I really need that feature anymore. But if you're young, I remember when I was growing up, I'd be like playing the Super Nintendo. And then, you know, somebody'd be like, I want to watch TV. So you go, all right, you've had the TV for a little while, so you got to give it to them, you know. So you got to, you know, share the TV. But with the Wii U, you go, all right, I'll just switch to this screen. I'll play it down here instead, and you can watch the TV. Like, that is an awesome feature.
Now it's just going to be an arms race. Someone's going to have the TV, and then someone's going to have the Wii, and it's going to be like, oh, well, it's my turn. You've had the Wii for a long time.
Probably.
And then they're going to release another screen. Speaking of releasing another screen, Nintendo is going to be working on new consoles for emerging markets.
Completely new consoles, which is weird to me.
Not like reduced cost and material versions of like the Wii U or the 3DS. Brand new consoles. And when they say emerging markets, I can only think they really mean China.
Probably, since China recently released or lifted a ban on buying video game consoles.
Yeah. Which Xbox One is releasing in China in September.
Mm-hmm. As I was saying this to Andrew before we started recording. If Nintendo gets their head out of their asses and hits China and just gets China, now they could make this money that they lost back like that.
Yeah.
Because it's certainly against Microsoft. I mean, there's going to be a big thing because Microsoft, I know a lot of the stuff is still made over in Asia, but it's all goes through the States before it goes anywhere else.
Yeah.
That shipping stuff is going to run up the cost, it's going to slow them down. Everything in Nintendo all happens there in Japan. Japan's pretty damn close to China, for those of you who don't know your geography very well. It's pretty damn close. They could hit that market hard and rule it before anybody has another chance. For anybody else has a chance to move in.
Make and also, all money back. If you aren't aware, there's a lot of people who live in China.
A lot of people in China. This is true.
If you can corner that market.
Yeah. I bet they're craving some good entertainment.
Yeah. And I bet we're not gonna talk politics. Nintendo is craving some good money.
although China always... Speaking of talking about China always makes me think of that they're making. I think it's, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's China. They have like a super ghetto looking Blizzard ripoff amusement park. Like, it's not officially licensed, but it's clearly StarCraft and Diablo and Warcraft. But it's all super ghetto looking, and I'm like, I'm not sure I would ride that ride.
Do they have
it looks like it's gonna kill me.
Do they have a ride that just farms gold?
You just walk over, you just get spammed with slash yell.
Yeah.
And slash whispers. People just come around to you. People just come around to you and
slash
like
yell,
really
slash whispers.
They just come around to you in really cheap looking clothes and cheap looking armor and whisper in your ear.
Nah, it's just underwear.
Just, it's true. It's just in the
strange
underwear,
people just, named Astiv.
Cheapest gold prices at this website. Cheapest gold prices at this website. Oh god, that's the best.
Our level.
That's cheapest gold shire. That ride is called. Yeah. So new consoles is a weird. I mean, I don't know why they would do that. Really, instead of just, you know, I mean, I get that you have to change some of the hardware for different regions, but I bet their region Japan is pretty much the same as region China. Yeah. I imagine they work in the same region. So I don't know why.
They need to do something, and there isn't really like a cheap, affordable handheld. Whereas Nintendo games, they don't need a whole lot of power behind them in general. So
no,
I see why there's a reason that they wouldn't.
New consoles?
Yeah, just make a new console.
That's what I don't get either. Why don't you just sell the consoles that you have already? I don't get it. Nintendo, man. Nintendo. Crazy.
They can still afford to, like, have millions of more dollars lost every year and probably still not care.
Just like going back to WoW. Just like WoW can afford millions and millions of more users to
unsubscribe.
They're not worried because they can afford to have millions upon millions more lost.
Yeah.
And Nintendo can still afford to have Satoru Iwata as their co-president.
Battlefront is going to be at E3. It's going to be part of EA's press conference scheduled for Monday, June 9th. And this is exciting because we get to see more Battlefront running on the Frostbite engine, which is the engine that Battlefield is running, and it's so pretty.
I always confuse, like, if I just at reading, I always confuse Battlefront for Battlefield just in a quick read.
Right.
And I don't know why that is.
Because it's Battle.
Battlef. But you'd think I'd do it opposite. I would think Battlefield was Battlefront, because I'd certainly played Battlefront. Well, I played Battlefront, period, and Battlefront was certainly on my mind before Battlefield existed.
Battlefield's a more common word.
Maybe. I'm just saying that I played the hell out of Battlefield 1 and 2.
I played the hell out of both of them.
I like them. I've never played any Battlefield.
I've played all of them. All of them. Bad Companies, 1942, 2, Vietnam, 2142, and 3 and 4.
I have 4. It doesn't work very well for me. I don't know why. It might have been EA. It might have been EA problems, though, and not me problems. Because, you know, EA has a lot of problems with their servers and such.
They did have a lot of problems. I never really had any.
Oh, I've had some problems with some of the EA games. I have
a problem with Origin, but that's all personal.
That's what I mean, though, by the EA servers. I had some Mass Effect 3 problems. Not big problems, but problems that made it really annoying to play it. Battlefield 4 did want to launch for me. But that doesn't make it different from a lot of my Steam games. For the longest time, I got Rainbow Six games. For the longest time, they didn't want to... They would, like, launch and then shut down. But I tried it, like, last week. And this was, like, a month or two ago. They would launch and then immediately shut down. I tried it last week and it worked just fine. I didn't fix anything. I just left them. They sat there for a week. Or a month, rather. It's weird. Technology, man. It hates me.
Speaking of technology, Epic Games reveals that they're going to... release Unreal Tournament, a new one, running on the Unreal Engine number 4.
Wow.
And it's going to be for free because it's going to be partly developed by the community and partly developed by Epic.
What does partly developed by the community mean?
I don't know.
It sounds a little sketchy to me. And by sketchy, I mean like shit's going to be stupidly weird.
I don't know. I think it's kind of hard to mess up with that formula.
But it is Unreal. Unreal is already kind of stupidly weird.
Nah, it'll be fine. But it's going to be free game, not free to play. It's going to be just a free game.
Which, the only difference is that there won't be microtransactions.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like free games, but I also like free to play. Because I don't pay for microtransactions anyway. It doesn't bother me. Not even in Star Wars. The free-to-play doesn't really bother me.
Nah. And then Shadowgate. Shadowgate pre-orders are up.
I have no idea what this game is because your link didn't want to work for me.
Shadowgate is a point-and-click adventure that was on the NES. And then it eventually got ported to the Game Boy and a bunch of other things. But the Game Boy is what I played it on. I still have it. And it is one of the best point-and-click adventures I've ever played. And this was a Kickstarter. I backed it, like, as soon as I found it. And it's just an HD remake of it, where they hand-drew all of the scenes, made music, and it's going to be released on, like, PC, iPad, Linux, Mac.
I have a thing about hand-drawn. My new story in video games has hand-drawn graphics as well.
Well, tell me more about it.
It's called We Must Go Deeper. It is on Steam Greenlight right now, so you should go check it out because it looks pretty cool. It's sort of a roguelike style game, inspired by like Jules Verne, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, 2,000 Leagues Under the Sea, some sort of number of leagues under the sea. It's co-op of up to 4 people. Basically, you're in a sub, and you are the whole point of the game is to like explore this undersea trench, like the infinite trench or something, and you can so this. I guess one person, I would assume one person navigates the sub, another person controls, like, the guns to fight off, like, sharks trying to eat your sub, and you can get out of the sub to, you know, explore and pick up treasures and fight things with, like, weird gun-looking things. It actually looks pretty awesome, and I certainly voted it for Greenlight, and everybody else should, because I want to maybe purchase this game later. And I like Jules Verne.
And I like hand-drawn environments.
Yeah, the hand-drawn things are really cool looking. So you should check out We Must Go Deeper. Andrew, you have Steam. There's a way to link that, right? I should find a link for that.
I can link it. I'm booting it up now.
Alright, I will talk about this zombie game, which is another thing. That's a zombie game, right? Yeah, Dying Light.
Yeah.
This was another thing that I was going to put in the show notes, and I was like, oh, he's already got it. Close the tab.
I'm so excited for Dying Light.
And now it's been pushed back to February 2015.
Yeah.
So, I guess Amazon revealed that Dying Light release date will be on March. Previous, yeah. So did they leak it accidentally, I guess, before it was officially announced?
I think it was officially announced because the announcement that they made when they were talking about the delay was that we're sorry, it's after much deliberation, we decided to change the release date. And it's not back far enough to, like...
I think, okay, I'm reading the full thing here. It's Amazon revealed Dying Light release date will be on March 31st, 2014, but once development of the game, I'm guessing, hit some snags, they changed it to December 31st, 2014. But now it's being pushed back again to February
2015. Which isn't that bad. I'll take it if it means a better game.
I don't really know what this game is.
It's like zombie apocalypse, but it's like very open world. A lot of the little decisions you make all matter. Like there'll be a survivor in a building, and you got to get to a certain point to get some resources. Do you help the person in the building? Do you blitz to the resources? But it's not like it's a straight cut decision. It's just like open world. These are things that happen around you.
I like open world games.
But it's all first person parkour and zombies everywhere.
Those damn zombies. I like open world games. That's a big selling point for me, and it's becoming more and more common, which I'm happy about. Open world.
I like open world games, but I don't like them if it sacrifices the story and like the immersion factor. Like Skyrim. As good as Skyrim was and open world, a lot of the times the open world came at the cost of the immersion of the story.
Because they went too big. Skyrim is huge. Like the actual spacing of that place was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I get they're trying to show off what they could do, but there doesn't need to be so much empty space where there's nothing to do.
Well, I bet that's alright. It's just the like guards and stuff will be like, oh, maybe I'm the Dragonborn. And I'm like, dude, I just saved the world. I'm kind of a big deal. How do you not know about me?
They did know about you. That's why they're thinking maybe I'm also one.
Yeah.
But I get what you're talking about. You mean that all the guards in every city, no matter what side of the Civil War they were on, they said the same four sentences.
Yeah.
Just to be an adventurer like you, maybe I'm the Dragonborn. My cousin's fighting dragons. What do I got? Patrol.
Did someone steal your sweet roll?
Someone steal your sweet roll. Which is a joke back to like a previous Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that. Just ruins immersion.
That's why you need an Oculus Rift and an omnidirectional treadmill.
Oh, God.
Ain't nothing going to ruin your immersion then. You're literally immersed.
No. The only thing that's going to ruin my immersion is, oh, God, I'm so tired.
Yes, so Dying Light, pushed back to February 2015. Hopefully that'll be his last pushback. Uh oh, you know what's next on our list, Andrew? Pokemans.
Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
I saw this explode on the internet last night.
Yeah, it went everywhere. I saw it just like a little blog post, and then I put it in the show notes, and then by the time I went back to the internet, everywhere.
Yeah, no. It blew up pretty damn quick.
Yeah.
So these are... What is this? Hoenn? No, I don't remember what the stupid regions are called. I don't remember any of the region names.
Oh, I don't know. There's Kanto and Johto.
I know. Right, that's the second one, and Kalos is the most recent one. I don't even know. Yeah. I only remember that because it's the most recent one.
Yeah.
I think this one might be Hoenn, simply because I think I read that recently. Something like that. Anyway, it's remakes, obviously, of Ruby and Sapphire.
I've only played Blue, Yellow, Silver, Leaf Green, Soul Silver, and X.
I think that's more than me. I played Red, Blue, Yellow. Like, I own Red, my brother had Blue, and I think I have it now. And I played an emulator of Yellow. I played an emulator of Silver or Gold, I don't remember which. That was in Japanese. I played, like, I think the one before, no, it wasn't even the one before X, because those was Black and Black 2. It's probably, I guess it would be the one before that. The one with Giratina in it, I played. I borrowed from a friend. And then I played Y.
Diamond and Pearl, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe it was Emerald. I think it was the one of... I think it was Emerald. Chaos Emerald. Which I
basically
saw all
of it. I only went up to 251 Pokemon.
Yeah. Me too. Even though I play as I... played through this other one, and I quick played. I didn't really care about it. I did the story and finished. So, going into X and actually trying to fill up the Pokedex. Oh my god.
Yeah. Going into X and being like, I don't know what's super effective against anything.
I know. That was so hard. Like, I don't know what... What?
This guy looks electric. I'll just use something... whatever. Oh, he's this type too? Damn.
Yeah, those double types, killer. Especially when they complement each other.
Yeah. But Ruby and Sapphire is supposed to be some of the best.
Yeah, no, they're extremely popular.
So
now whether that's because they were actually, you know, superior, in quotation marks, games superior. Superior in quotation marks, not games in quotation marks. Well, that's just because the better part of the people who commonly use the internet right now were the right age for Pokemon, then. Who knows?
Oh. But worth a try. I'm going to get it when it comes out.
Of course you are. You love your Pokemans.
Yep. And speaking of getting it when it comes out, Shaq Fu was successfully funded and now goes into production.
Ugh.
And if you don't know who Shaq Fu is, it's a video game with Shaq. And it's amazing. That's really it. All you need to know.
I mean, there was an original one, and this is the new one. This is a sequel to the original 16-bit Shaq Fu, which basically, as I recall, had Shaq, like, basically was Final Fight, but, like, with Shaq.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I follow this link. You have to put this link into the show, or this picture, at least, in the show notes.
Because we've come so far, Shaq is in a mocap suit.
Mocap suit. The full green suit, the little balls. This is balls the best picture I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's fantastic. Wow.
That whole funding campaign was worth it for this picture.
Yep. Wow, is all I have to say about that. Yeah, and Shaq Fu is infamously a terrible game, by the way. For those of you who are too young to remember, Shaq Fu, terrible game. It was hated.
Yeah, it is universally renowned as just absolute garbage.
Yeah, much like his movies were.
Like, I don't know.
What was that? Shazam? Like his Shazam. Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam was awesome. I loved that as a kid.
Look, it was terrible. It was a terrible movie.
It was awesome.
I would much rather read the Shazam comics, which have nothing to do with Shaq.
Oh.
And everything to do with Captain Marvel, which is a DC. So how's that for confusing?
That was confusing.
That's why they called the comics Shazam for the longest time, because they didn't want to confuse people. Instead of Captain Marvel. But the DC character Shazam is actually named Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Not to be confused with Captain Marvel, who's a Marvel character. and a fucking creep. So his name is Mar Dashville.
Yeah.
That was, I think that was just Marvel being like, hey, DC, fuck you.
Yeah. Look at this Marvel.
Mar Dashville. It's not Captain Marvel, it's Marvel.
And Miss Marvel?
Miss Marvel. Who's now Captain Marvel, I think.
Yeah. It seems that way, because Marvel died. Oh, comic books.
I haven't read the comics. I just read something about it somewhere else.
Speaking of comics, that's the next thing.
It is, because we're done. We're actually done with this thing. Yeah. Free Comic Book Day was on Saturday. Last Saturday was Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah. And it had some pretty good comics.
Yeah, it had some.
This was the best Free Comic Book Day that... Yeah, it was best Free Comic Book Day.
It had some average comics, because most of the Free Comic Book Day comics are pretty average.
Yeah. But these ones are good.
There's
a lot of setup novels into future releases.
Avatar 1 was okay.
Yeah, but it was Avatar. It's like a really bad filler episode of Avatar.
It was. I didn't read the Batman one. But the Guardians of the Galaxy one was pretty great.
Yeah, the Guardians of the Galaxy one was really good. It explained who they were and all that, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it also set up for future comics.
I did not know that Gamora was the daughter of Thanos.
Thanos, yeah.
Or that Star...
I wonder if they'll have all of this in the movie.
Or that Star-Lord was the son of some sort of planet... guy who ruled the planet, but he was an asshole, so Star-Lord hated him. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of this is...
human.
This comic book universe, completely separate from this movie universe. I don't know how much of that is gonna hold over. But still, it's cool stuff.
They really tame down the comic book universe a lot of times because it's just outrageous.
Which, like Iron Man 3, I was really curious about when I heard that the Mandarin was the villain. And I mean, the Mandarin in the comics is probably one of his most famous and most fought villains, Iron Man's.
Yeah.
In the Iron Man comics. But he's a mix of alien tech and literal magic. And I was like, how are you going to try and... how are you going to do the Mandarin in movies and make it so that it's not totally convoluted and stupid?
People say that he's a terrorist. He likes to
think of him as a teacher. Those are poor impressions, everybody. Poor impressions.
I think it was spot on.
Yeah, sure.
And if you haven't seen that little extra bit that happened in the Thor extras, talking about the Mandarin, where he had his little short movie thing. It's like 10 minutes.
Right, yeah. I forget what that's called.
All Hail the King. Hail the King.
Something like that.
Hail to the King.
I think it's Hail to the King.
Yeah, it's something like that. Have you seen it?
I've not seen all of it.
Oh.
I've seen most of it. I saw most of it on the internet.
Alright, well, spoiler alert at the end. There's the actual Mandarin.
Oh, right.
You don't see him, but he is there. He's like, where are we going? And he's like, gonna go see the real Mandarin.
We're going, we don't need roads. Sorry.
Basically. It was basically a Back to the Future reference. Why not?
So there's a possibility that they're still gonna try and do the alien tech, the mysterious alien tech mixed with actual magic.
Why not? They've got Thor and all that.
Well, I suppose that's true. They do kind of, in Thor, they do just kind of gloss over the, yeah, magic is technology.
Yeah. And don't they have, isn't the Mandarin somehow related to the Infinity Gauntlet?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Something to do about the...
I think he does, actually, at some points.
Yeah.
And that's, so he could pull into a Thanos-y thing.
Yeah, so, like, maybe Avengers is going to have Thanos, and he's like, I got the Infinity Gauntlet, and then they'll kill Thanos, and he'll be like, no, and then he drops the Infinity Gauntlet, and Mandarin's like, hey.
Yep, that's exactly how it'll be written on screen. It'll film exactly like that.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't they hire you to write those scripts?
I really don't know. They just don't know me yet.
Well, soon enough they will. I mean, this is getting put up on the internet. Yeah. Once something's on the internet, it's there forever. So
it is. Between my house being tapped.
Your house is tapped, and Michael Bay will direct Power Rangers.
Power Rangers reboot movie series.
I hesitate. That's the thing I have the problem with, is all the time on the Power Rangers thing. I forgot to say this. Reboot is totally the wrong word. Because they're still making the TV show, so not rebooting anything. It's starting a movie for it.
If they're
kind of rebooting the movies.
Yeah, if they're rebooting the series.
But I don't think I don't know if they're continuing on with the other series that they're still making. I don't know.
Oh, for sure. Because I don't think it'll ever end.
Nope, and Tommy will always be there.
Yeah. If Tommy's not in this movie, I quit. I don't actually, but I'll be mad.
Oh God, yeah. Let's. So yeah, there's not a lot of this. Basically, no worthwhile comic book news. I mean, the comic book news is, hey, this is coming out this week, and that's coming out next week, and I mean, I can tell you why. There's no news yet. It's because we're coming up on con season.
Yeah.
Or as William Shatner would say, con season. Can you tell that I thought of that one before the show and I've been waiting for it?
No. You naturally pulled that off.
But we're coming into the con season. I mean, I know some of them, like Salt Lake City Comic Con was a couple weeks ago, and the Vancouver Fan Expo was a couple weeks ago too, I think. But I mean, the big ones are still coming up.
Yeah.
So they hold a lot of announcements still, you know. The con weekends, they're New York. New York gets a lot of one, gets a lot of them. San Diego obviously gets a lot of them. Emerald City. Fan Expo, probably. Up in Canada. Our neck of the woods.
Biggest in Canada. Canuckistan.
Canuckistan with our poutine.
Our poutine.
Sounds like Putin. I saw a Poland Ball cartoon on Reddit about poutine sounding like Putin and America Ball going crazy.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is that.
Deadpool and Carnage number 3 out of 4 came out yesterday.
Did you buy it yet?
No, I just had been to the comic store.
Did you buy 2 yet?
Busy, yeah. And I read it. It's progressing amazingly. This is like one of the best Deadpool.
Involves Deadpool arcs. And Carnage.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. This is the first time I've ever really bought single issues.
Yeah, usually by trades.
Yeah. What do we call single issues?
Issues.
Issues?
Yeah.
Okay.
You call trade? Trades. What?
I'm learning so much of the lingity.
Lingity. Yep, that's it.
Yep. I'm basically a nerd now.
Yeah, now. That's it. Now. Alright. Deadpool vs. Carnage. Pick it up. It can't be anything but awesome.
It really, really is awesome. I can't recommend it enough if you like either of these characters. But Carnage part's alright. It's more Deadpool.
I look forward to the Deadpool and X-Force.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be great. Anyway, that's I guess that's it. Unless you have any last minute throw-ins.
Oh, I'm gonna put up in the show notes a little bit of Game of Thrones linguist stuff.
Linguist stuff?
Yeah, the guy who does the languages
made
some phrases that you can learn in High Valyrian.
It's the same guy who did Valyrian, the same guy who did Dothraki. The same guy. Probably. You know?
I'd imagine so.
My favorite thing about that, about the guy who made the Dothraki language, is he was watching, you know, he made it, and he worked over it with Jason Momoa, and the other people have to speak Dothraki.
Uh-huh.
And you know how in actors, when they're in the back of the scenes, you know, they're kind of supposed to, you know, talk to each other, but in character, you know, make stuff up. But so there was certain lines that the guy who made the Dothraki language made, specifically, this word is, you know, the lines that actually matter that Khal Drogo says. But like in like the wedding scene or something, you see Dany talking to Jorah, and Khal Drogo's talking to one of his riders, whatever they're called, and the language is like listening to him going, he made a proper sentence. Like, this is just improving sentences, but it's like, Jason Momoa improved sentences properly in a made-up language.
That's amazing.
I was just like, that sounds about right for Jason Momoa.
Because he's a boss.
Yeah, he's awesome. Just makes up weird languages, or makes up weird sentences in languages that don't exist. That kind of exist. Anyway. So, look forward to some linguist talk on the site, which is GweeklyNews.com.
Yay! Did we have this last week?
No, because we were still on your subdomain last week. We set it all up on Friday.
Yeah.
Or Saturday. Set it all up on Saturday before we went to D&D.
So the site looks sexy as balls.
So it doesn't look very attractive at all then.
No, sexy balls. The sexiest of balls.
Yes, we have our own domain now, GweeklyNews.com.
And you can find us on iTunes. I think that's new too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is new. You can search us on the iTunes or on your iPhone in the podcasts app.
Yeah, or if you have another app that does podcast subscription, you can subscribe via RSS on our website.
Yep, Andrew's got that stuff down, and I actually have no honest idea what RSS means or is. I know it's a thing, but I don't really know what it is.
That's okay. You're on a need-to-know basis.
I don't need to know.
We also have a Facebook page. Go and like it. I post things.
Yes, he does, and eventually I will start to... I don't know if I have the... I have a... rights to that. Yep. I'm an owner of that page.
Yep.
I don't have the password. I do have the password to Twitter now, don't I? We changed the password to that. Speaking of Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at dud75dud75,
and I'm at dup3.
And you can follow the show at Gweekly News, GweeklyNews.
We literally have not tweeted anything.
No, that's why I was thinking, do I have the password? I do have the password, because we changed it. I didn't before. We'll start doing something with that, I'm sure, eventually.
Yep. We started posting blogs as well.
Well, you do. I still have to write my bio, let alone start up.
Yeah. And there's a link to our D&D adventures on the site, if you want to...
our Obsidian portal.
Keep track of... the insanity.
It's definitely insanity, and it would be awesome if you guys, I don't know, I think you have to have an account to like a campaign, don't you?
Yeah, if you want to like it or follow it or comment, you have to have an account, but if you just want to read it,
yeah, go ahead. Just read it. If you do have an Obsidian Portal account, you can like and follow our campaign. It makes us feel good.
Yeah, give us some love.
Is that all we have? Twitter, website, Facebook, iTunes?
subscribe.
Subscribe.
Like, right. Favorite, subscribe. And if you guys put comments on the iTunes, it would be lovely.
Comments and reviews would be welcome, even if they're bad reviews. I mean, I prefer good reviews, but...
If they're bad reviews, give us 4 stars.
Nothing under 4. Nothing under 4. God. Yeah. So, that's going to be that for this week. It's a little bit longer, but not too bad.
Until next week.
We'll see you next week. I have no sign off.
Stay frosty, chicken people.
Watch out for Shaq Fu.
Watch out. Shaq Fu. Watch out.